So this morning, in our time of message, I want to stray a little bit from the regular sermon, and I want to do two things. One, I want to celebrate where we've been, and the second thing is to kind of paint a picture of where it feels like in the coming year God is leading us at New Life. When we look back and we celebrate the beginnings of a new life, it just does a good thing. And I think that every year, as we begin the year, it's good to kind of look back and see where we have come from. New Life was planted as a church in between two counties for a very specific purpose. And the purpose was twofold. One was a mission purpose, and the other purpose was an evangelistic purpose. The church was planted in order to be a church to reach people that other churches would not or could not reach, and to do it in a way that was kind of new and fresh and vibrant, not always doing things the way things had always been done. And that, to me, is part of where the name New Life comes from. As I've talked with Pastor David Bonney and others who helped plant this church, I love to hear this story over and over, and I try and make it an opportunity to hear it over and over. But when I talk to them, they always say that, you know, New Life was about one direction, forward, always going forward. And one verse that kind of helped give life at the beginning of New Life came from John 10:10, which is Jesus saying, "I have come that you might have life and life to the full." The idea of abundant, overflowing, brimming to the top kind of life, the kind of life that God intended in this kind of new life was what they felt this church wanted to offer in this area. This church was planted to be a mission outpost, and that was a phrase that they used often. See, this area at the time of it being planted was growing faster than the national average. And so it was planted between two counties, Powhatan County and Chesterfield County, because Chesterfield County is pressing out this way and Powhatan County is pressing this way. And they said, well, let's place a church there and let's make it a mission outpost. And for me, that phrase mission outpost has several different meanings. One is that it reminded folks that this church is meant to be active about faith. Right, it was not just to be a place where we hole up and we have this holy huddle and then we go out and we forget what happened Monday through Saturday. No, this was to be the kind of place where you came in for the purpose of then going out, right? And that way, not to spend too little time here, but not to spend too much time here. Does that make sense? So that when you came in, you were then energized to go out and to be and to do in the community, in the workplace, in the sports teams, what you could do. And so the hope was that folks would come here, but then go out and have time to be the Boy Scout leader or the soccer coach or on the PTA or leaders in the community. And that was the kind of desire of the early church. The idea that it was outposts also was that it was built practically. See, you look at the design of the church, and it's not very ornate. It's very practical. And so there was a hope in the beginning that this would be a balanced facility. It would be a facility that was not too nice, but not too plain. Right? That it would be practical and that more of the funds would be able to be sent out to those in need rather than having nice fancy furniture. It was also built with showers in the restrooms here so that we would almost always be reminded that central to this church had in plans from the very beginning to be a part of a homeless ministry in the Richmond area called Caritas, ensuring shelter for those who are in transition between home and employment. These are the wonderful aspects of it being a mission outpost. And there's some feelings that came along with that one was just a come-as-you-are feel. And that come-as-you-are, as I understand it from those who have told me, it has two emphases. One is come-as-you-are. Some are comfortable in coat and tie, and others are comfortable in jeans. Just come-as-you-are, right? And shorts people don't make fun of the coat and tie people, and coat and tie people don't make fun of the shorts people. And that was kind of the feeling. Come as you are, there's a place for you. The other thing about come as you are was kind of like we're all on this journey, on this spiritual spectrum of infancy to maturity. And there's lots of us on different places on this journey. There are some who have been walking with Jesus for some time, but there are also a lot who are beginning the journey and still just exploring who Jesus is, and the jury is still out trying to figure out if he is really who he said he was. And there's a place for everyone on that spectrum. Come as you are. And this is a place where you can come and you can explore and you can ask the questions of faith. And you can do it in a safe environment where others will help come alongside you. That was the sense of come as you are. So I love those two aspects of celebrating our beginning, that we had an evangelistic and a mission-oriented beginning. And so throughout the course of New Life's life, there have been teams that have kind of formed to say, okay, let's look beyond, let's see 3 to 5 years from now, and what is the kind of ministry that God is calling us to do? And some of those teams have been called the Joel Vision Team, and some of the efforts that have come out from that have been a mission statement. And the mission statement for New Life Church, as you saw as you kind of came in the building up on the wall, is transforming lives through Jesus Christ. So if you want to know what New Life Church is all about, there it is. And there it is on the screen, so say it with me. Transforming lives through Jesus Christ. Now that was pretty good. Now I want us to kind of try and say it as if we're excited about that, okay? As if that might be a really cool, really great thing. Say it with me on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Transforming lives. Yeah, that was much better. That was awesome. And that's what it's about. If you want to know what New Life is about, it's about life change. And realizing that in this, that life change is important, not only for us, but for others, right? But that life change comes through Jesus Christ. And so that's the mission of New Life Church. I think that another thing that came out of the Joel mission team or vision team was a strategy of how are we going to transform lives. And 5 words kind of came to the top. They're not our 5 words. Other churches have used these 5 words. In fact, they're very biblical, but they are worship, grow, serve, share, and give. And as we've talked about this, as we've shared with those who are exploring the church, we are trying to be absolutely clear about what we are trying to do. We are trying to make more passionate worshipers of every person that walks in the building. Absolutely. Unapologetic. That's a goal. Help each one of us become more passionate in our worship. But we don't stop there. We believe that we all need to grow in our spiritual walk from infancy to maturity. So we are unapologetically trying to make even growing more deeply devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's disciples. And then we recognize that we need to be active about our faith. That's something that Jesus calls us to do. And so we want to make compassionate missionaries out of every single person. We all go out of this place at some time, you know. There's a joke that maybe there are a few areas where folks stay overnight because they seem to be here so often, but the reality is we go out from this place, and that's how we become missionaries. Wherever you go, when you go out of this place, you become a missionary, and you carry what you have experienced here out to wherever it is that you're going, whether it's the ball field, the workplace, the neighborhood, wherever it is. Another thing that we recognize is that every one of us has a story, and it fits within God's overarching story. And we want to become more and more enthusiastic of sharing God's story, and that's an unapologetic effort of this church. And a final one is that we would all experience the joy of generous giving. That God has given us every good and perfect gift, everything that we have, all that we are, and how are we to use it How are you to use all of that for God's purposes? So this is the strategy of how to transform lives, and we believe that as we attend to worship and growing and serving and sharing and giving, we're going to be changed. And the people around us are going to be changed. And that's the strategy for transforming lives through Jesus Christ. And in the past year, we've been talking a little bit more about our culture and our values. I think there are some things that are kind of understood and kind of passed on, but we've never really written them down. And we're not ready to write them down quite yet, but we're having discussions about what are the values that are important. We have our core set of beliefs. That's not changing, but who we are, what is our personality? A few words have kind of risen to the top, and I'm not saying that they are, but just a hint is that we strive to be real. We strive to be the kind of folks of what you see is what you get, right? The hope is that when you experience New Life and folks at New Life, that there aren't barriers put up, that, you know, I'm going to mess up, guaranteed, plan on it, right? And it won't be so smooth and polished that you can't see through that, yes, I have pants, put them on the same way, I fail and I falter. And so we want to be real with one another and recognize we're on the same journey. But the other, another word that kind of it comes to the top is relevant. We want to talk about faith in life and how it meets. Not faith in such a way that it never impacts our lives. And that's where it makes a difference, where we're transformational. So we want to be relevant. Now, I know that there are some times when I'm going to pull a way back illustration all the way from the 80s, you know, going old school, right? But there will be times when we're trying to share something that meets today's needs. But the overarching goal is that what we talk about, whether it's in worship or it's in life group or it's how we are serving, will be relevant and meet real needs in real people's lives. And another thing is relational. We find it's just better to be together. You know, relationships are fun, they're enjoyable, it's how we grow, it's how we become more of who God calls us to be. And so we can't go about this without relationships. But that's just a little bit about our culture and our values. So I want to take a moment just to kind of, that's celebrating the planting of this church and the vision of some folks who just came together and said, you know what, there needs to be a church in this area that's trying to reach people whom other churches would not or could not reach. And that's New Life. And so kind of bridging that a little bit from where we've been and where we're going, we've over the past few years been trying to have kind of a structure of how we are living out our faith with a mission emphasis each year. And it's changed, but it comes from this passage of Scripture that Joan just read. Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 through 40 is what I want to read right now. And I want to just highlight a few words. So if I pause, you just share the word that you either see on the screen or on your smart device or in Scripture on the printed page. But in verse 35, it says, "For I was what? Hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison and go and visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you," and read this last part with me, "whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So we have been trying year after year after year to try and take one piece of that scripture and help it to come to life. If you go down the hallway, take a left all the way to the end of the hallway, you'll wind up in a room that's kind of the youth room. And in that room, one of our youth did an awesome design, and it's M25, Matthew 25. And on it, just read it, it's beautiful, but it's become something that we've been trying to follow through year after year. In 2010, we took on an emphasis about doing something about those who were hungry. And so we packaged thousands and thousands and thousands of meals. And then we sent our youth on gleaning trips. In 2011, we realized we needed to do something about those who had no clothes. And we developed this mission called McDowell Mission. And it's a place in just over the border into West Virginia where 52.5% of children under the age of 18 live below the poverty level. And we said, we want to do something about that. And so we began that ministry, and we continue that ministry today. In 2012, we took on the emphasis of water, recognizing that there are some places in the world where the average walk a day to get clean water is 4 miles. Imagine spending that much time or just to get clean water and it not being clean at that point. And we did something about water in our area in doing a water filtration system for a Habitat home in Powhatan County. And in 2013, last year, we took on the emphasis of hospitality, those who are either in transition between housing, those who have no housing, and recognizing a little bit more of what home means. And so as you've walked through that and as we walk through that scripture, you may know exactly where I'm going, because I also said at the beginning of the service, 2014 is our mission emphasis is going to be ministry with those in prison. That's kind of the next logical step as we walk through this verse. And we recognize that as we talk about those who are in prison, there are those of us who are imprisoned by our own deeds, by our own actions, by our own bad decisions. But sometimes folks are imprisoned by others' bad decisions, others' misdeeds, and others' institutional decisions or organizational decisions as well. And as far as the response of the follower of Jesus, we are to work for repentance, for restoration, to work for freedom, and yes, to work for justice. Now, justice is a word that I think all of us believe in and all of us long for. I mean, take a look at primetime evening TV time, okay? I mean, and think of all of the shows that work for justice. Some absolutely fantastic shows. Anybody watch a show that has the theme of justice in it during the weeknight? Just shout it out. What? What is it? NCIS. What else? What? Whole justice. Cold justice, right there. See, obviously I got to pick up on that one. Anybody else? Major crimes. I mean, we know and we believe in justice, and there's a piece of us that longs for it. It's a major theme, and you know what? There are times when we just recognize there are things that are just not right. And these shows highlight it. I mean, there are points in these shows, and I'm just sitting there, I'm like, oh, they better get what they deserve, you know? And just lock them away for it, you know? And just wanting justice to be absolutely served and dished out. And then there are other times when we love the transformation. I mean, you know the bad character, right? And don't we love those stories, how the bad character turns good? I mean, we just came through Christmas, and just one word, the Grinch, right? The Grinch, you know? He turns from bad to good, and we love those stories of redemption. Don't we love Scrooge, how he turns from the bad, miserly guy to the amazing, generous guy. Don't those of you who are more sophisticated and cultured, you know, Les Miserables. I didn't say that correctly, but you know, Les Mis, for those of us who can't speak French, right? How Jean Valjean makes that turn from the bad guy to the good guy. We love these redemptive stories, and we do. We love justice, and so that is why we are partaking in this year of ministry with those in prison. I think it's important for us to kind of figure out, what did Jesus mean by visit? Okay? What did he really mean by visit? And what did he really mean by in prison? No, certainly, the clear literal understanding is there, right? Jesus meant literally, visit those in prison. So in one sense, visit those in prison means what? Visit those in prison. Right, we got that one. We got that one. So this year, part of what we will be doing is visiting those in prison. Literally, those who are behind bars need to hear and to know about the love of Jesus, that they are not left out, that they are not forgotten, right? And that the past does not have to define, that there is an opportunity, right, to receive and to know who Jesus is and to experience life as God intended it, even behind bars. There can be freedom. There can be liberation, right? And so we will be partnering with ministries like Kairos, and you may have heard Al Thorne and others talk about that amazing ministry. There may be ways that we are partnering with Prison Fellowship, which is an international prison ministry. So we will be a part of literal prison ministry, those who are behind bars. And there are lots and lots of ways to participate there. But there are those who are not behind literal physical bars. And so we need to understand our idea of prison needs to expand. I would risk saying that every one of us is behind bars and imprisoned in some way. And it's not a matter of if we're imprisoned, it's by what. See, I think that many of us are experiencing bondage because of our own habits or our hang-ups or our past or our fears or our assumptions or our loneliness or a chronic illness or a mental disease. See, there are so many ways that we can be imprisoned without being behind literal doors. And if even before we try and reach out to those who are behind bars, maybe we need to recognize we ourselves are behind bars, either by decisions others have made or by our own decisions. So we're going to be talking about that in a few sermon series, especially the one that begins next week as we start to talk on this series called Uncaged. How do we get uncaged from these things that are holding us enslaved to the things that God never intended to hold us back from being all the people we could be? Well, there's poverty, and who has a simple answer for that one, huh? Right? Nobody. Right? And yet poverty is not something that can just be wiped away. It's not something that just the government should do something about. It's something that all of us should do something about. And so we recognize that there are some organizational decisions, some institutional decisions, some government decisions that actually hold people in a state of poverty. People are behind bars not just because of drugs or crimes, but because they live in neighborhoods where crimes are often happening, right? Some people who are imprisoned in their own home and they pay to live there and are afraid to go out. What can we learn and how can we grow? We'll be talking about that. And one topic that I have that has been on my heart for about 8 years, and I didn't know how to take the next step, and I didn't know how to help other people come along. And I'm not even sure that I have the answer now of how to go forward, but I think we're going to figure it out together. And that is, we can't turn a blind eye to human trafficking. Friends, this is modern day slavery. And it's the world's fastest growing criminal industry. There are more people trapped in bondage than ever before. More than those who are a part of the drug trafficking. Friends, it's astounding. And so we've been partnering for years with a missionary over in Cambodia, and one of the aspects of her missions is to rescue young women from a trade that exploits them in their bodies. And perhaps we can take steps to be a further part of that ministry. But also right here in Richmond, there's the Richmond International Justice League, and we can be a part of some of the things that they are doing in order to raise awareness and to stomp it out here in the Richmond area. But friends, one of the statistics, you know, I read all sorts of statistics about this, how folks are in bondage either for labor or for use of their bodies. And it's 27 million people. And 27 million doesn't really resonate with me because I think, okay, 27 million in a world of 6 billion and 27 million, you know, how does that work? But one statistic that really hit me hard was every 30 seconds, someone becomes trapped in bondage. That's two people every minute. Two people every minute. And I don't know about you, but evil like that demands a response. And we can't just sit back and let it go on. And we can't let another minute pass by, allowing two more people to become a part of bondage. Edmund Burke put it this way. He said, you know, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. So we're preparing about how to respond, about how to make a difference in all of these different ways all throughout the next year in 2014, because faith implies action. Faith implies action. It's not just words, it's action. And it's not just action, it's also words. It's not either or, it's both and. Knowing what we do and why we do it and explaining why we do it. See, I think it's fascinating because it's not the Christian sit. It's the Christian walk, right? That's how we describe it. It's not, you know, it's not the Christian standstill. It's the Christian journey or the Christian movement. It's not that we want to be sightseers for Jesus or that we want to be sideliners for Jesus. It's that we want to be followers of Jesus. See, faith means action. Faith implies action. So we're going to have somewhat of a general strategy in those five areas of worship, grow, serve, share, and give. In worship and grow, we've kind of partnered them together so that what we're talking about worship, we're also taking to a deeper level in our life groups so that we take a few topics and just go deep with them rather than a whole bunch of topics and become very superficial. So we're going to do that over the next year of having some sermon series. And every week we're going to talk about human trafficking. And no, we're not. I'm just kidding. That would be quite depressing. Would you agree? But there are ways that we can get at this and recognize we have a role, we have a part to play. And we can't be sideline sinners if we're to be followers of Jesus. And then there's the opportunity to serve and to share. And for many of us, you know, mission is the new evangelism. The way that we share about our faith is by what we do, right? Faith in action. And so plans are already being made for the weekend of April 25th, 26th, and 27th. That on that weekend, we would be serving in many different capacities. We did it on one day last year. It was so successful that we want to do it over the whole weekend. And it could be that on Sunday we join for worship and then we go out, or it could be that we just put up signs and say the church has left the building, you know, and go here. Or maybe there's a group that's here doing a certain project. You can help be a part of those plans, but that's part of what we're going to do. Put our faith into action, but then we want to put our money where our mouth is. That if mission is so important, we want to give a couple opportunities throughout the year. One during Lent, which is the weeks up to Easter, and one at Christmas, to give opportunity to say, you know what, we can make a significant effort, not just by what we do, by supporting a ministry with finances and helping them do better at what they already do well. So that's part of our strategy. So what about today? Today, friends, today is the day. Say that with me. Today's the day. Yeah, you said today's the day. No, today's the day. Today's the day. See, today is the day. It's the day to decide to do something, right? To do something, because something is better than nothing. Sometimes we see this massive thing, and you know, you hear about poverty and human trafficking and behind bars, and we wonder, well, is that me? Does it fit my personality? And it seems so large of a problem, I can't do it all. No, you can't. We can't. But that should not rescue us from doing the good that we know we can do, right? Better to do the good that we know we can do than to not do any of the good at all. As one person has said it, do for one what you wish you could do for all. So start where we can. Last week, the challenge was to pursue God in 2014. And if you were willing to take the challenge to just, you know, take that time that you were pursuing God and kick it up a notch this year, then people have been saying, I'm in. I'm in to kick up my time and my pursuit of God this year. And some are saying, you know, I'm not up for a year, but I might be up for 3 to 6 months. Some saying, I'm not up for 3 or 6 months. I might be up for 30 days. And, you know, at the end of 30 days, I'll re-up, you know, because that's the way accountability works, you know. If you just say for the year, then you get to the end of the year and you forget, oh, what did we say at the beginning of the year? So every 30 days kind of renews it, refreshes it. I thought that was pretty smart, somebody said. I thought, that's good. That's not a cop-out. That's a buy-in, right? So some people are saying, I'm in. I'm in this year to pursue God. But today's challenge is to do something. Take out that yellow piece of paper that's in your bulletin, and then when you've got a hold of it, wave it like you just don't care, okay? And I know that you've got it. And I want you to kind of go through this with me. Because I believe if you can sign your name, say yes, okay? You're in prison ministry, right? Even today, you can walk out the door and sign a placemat. If you can pray, you can be a part of ministry with those in prison, right? There are some very, very easy ways. And I want to work through this, but on the back, you notice that there's a place for name, number, and email. Maybe today's the day that you say, I'm in, sign me up. Sign me up. I'm interested to know some more information about these things, right? I want to know if we're going to do these things, and I'm checking next to this one. So as we go through, then check one that maybe flips your switch, okay? Prison Fellowship Angel Tree, mentoring released prisoners, teach Bible studies or life skills in prison, money management or computer skills or anger management or parenting skills, and this can be on a weekly, a monthly, a quarterly, or just once. How about Kairos Prison Ministry? You can join a team because there's safety in numbers. You don't have to go do it all alone. You can go with a team and share God's love. How about baking? There are some people who just love to bake. Did you know you can be a part of prison ministry just by baking a thing of cookies, right? It's that easy, friends. It's that easy. Prayer partner, write agape, which is write letters. Sponsor through finances or fundraising. God has given some folks the ability to accumulate wealth, and God is just longing for different opportunities for them to know how to share it. This is one. There's a summer camp for children with incarcerated parents. Some people love children. Why not love on the children? How about a home repair project? Some people love to use just hammer and nails. Here's a way. Human trafficking. Many different ways there. Now, some of these are prison specific. Some are mission general specific. International mission trip to Costa Rica. If that floats your boat to maybe somehow go to Costa Rica, check next to that one. Or maybe national is better for you. Maybe Caritas, maybe there's an opportunity to donate a piece of furniture that's in your house that then can be used for someone else's startup home. The Wood Ministry, McDowell Clothing Sort, Stuff the Bus with School Supplies, gleaning produce for local food banks, collecting baskets for Thanksgiving, a Thanksgiving tailgate, sounds fun. Tailgate sounds fun. Whatever you put around tailgate. Sounds fun, doesn't it? I mean, hey, and then homeless ministry. One of these perhaps has grabbed your attention. I just want to invite you to take the time to check next to it and to sign up and decide that today's the day to do something. Because we won't stand by idle. This church won't stand by idle. We will not turn a blind eye. We will not allow some of these injustices to continue on, because some of these evils demand a response. And we have a responsibility as a church, as followers of Jesus, to do what we can with what we have in order to make a difference in others' lives. That's how we transform lives through Jesus Christ, not just our own lives, but the lives of others. So it's time to say, today's the day, not on our watch. It ends today. Some of these things cannot hide in the darkness anymore. They will be exposed and they will be dealt with. And we won't go on our strength, we'll go on the strength of God. Because we long to be the people that when others look back on our time in history, they don't say, well, why didn't they do something about this? Why did they let it get to such an epidemic proportion? We don't want to be those people. We want to be the people that when they start writing history books, they say that was the point in time where things started to shift. That was the point in time when things started to change. That was a stopgap where it looked like evil was advancing. It stopped and it started to be beaten down again. That's what we want to be a part of. So that the time, as in Scripture, it says that Jesus is going to come back, the King coming down. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all His angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before Him. We want to be the kind of people that have been actively involved in bringing heaven on earth. We pray it every week. Lord, let Thy will be done in heaven and on what? Earth. We're not just going to pray it. We're going to help work about it to make sure it happens. We want to be those people that when He sees that we have been active, He says to them, you know what? Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for Me. And because of that, that means that come. Come, you who are blessed by My Father. Take your inheritance. The kingdom is prepared for you. And it was prepared since the creation of the world. We want to be those people. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us to be bold where we have no boldness. God, help us to be people of courage where we feel we lack it. Lord, help us to be strong and perseverant where we feel weak. Lord, help us to be the people who offer hope for those who feel hopeless. Help us to be the ones who come alongside those who are discouraged. Help us to be the ones who are seeking to transform this globe into the place that You've intended it for us to be. And in doing so, God, may we be the people that experience that abundant life that You offer. And may we be the ones that offer that abundant life. And we pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.